First, even though the coronavirus has been big news for months now, it's still pretty new in the scope of things, and there's a lot we don't know. A Wisconsin Research Institute is playing a central role in the Center for Disease Control's push to learn more about the virus and how it operates. Jennifer Meese is the director of the Integrated Research and Development Laboratory at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. The CDC awarded Marshfield Clinic a $22.5 million grant to study how the new coronavirus is transmitted and can be treated. Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, a big picture, what is this grant going to work toward at Marshfield?
Yeah, so Marshfield Clinic Research Institute, we were awarded a very large central testing laboratory grant from the CDC. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has established a number of studies across the U.S. and in Puerto Rico to better understand the transmission, risk factors, epidemiology, outcomes, all sorts of questions around SARS-CoV-2 infection. And my laboratory was, we submitted and applied for the central testing laboratory component of that, those various studies, and we were awarded it. So all of the specimens from these well-designed studies will be coming to one central laboratory for testing so that methods are standardized and reporting is standardized. And so things will be very comparable across the various studies that the CDC is funding.
With this being such a new disease, it seems like a lot of the research that's coming out is kind of opportunistic. It was based on who happened to be at a hospital at a particular time, which is great that they're doing it, but that's the best we can do. Can you talk about the kind of studies that we can do, you know, when we're planning things out better and not just having to take, you know, whoever happens to walk in the door?
Right. So that's exactly why these studies are so important, because it allows us to prospectively enroll people into studies. We can monitor them over time during periods of illness as well as when they're not ill. We can study risk factors in households. For example, one of the studies is a household transmission study. So we'll enroll the household into the study, and every week they'll submit specimens. We'll be able to look at things like asymptomatic carriers or when people get infected in relationship to index cases in households. So it allows us to very prospectively design studies, ask questions about behaviors and lifestyle and underlying medical conditions and all of the factors that play into risks and outcomes associated with this disease. And then with the samples coming to a standard laboratory for, you know, testing in the same method, there's not the intervariability between lab tests and methods and procedures. So it allows us to answer questions in a much more structured approach. We can think through the questions that we want to ask in advance and make sure we implement the study procedures to ask and answer those questions.
You mentioned a couple of them already, but what are some of the other biggest open questions about the novel coronavirus that you're hoping this research can start to answer?
Well, I think, you know, some of the big ones are you know, let's think about, we hear a lot about asymptomatic carriers. So, you know, who are the people walking around that are shedding the virus but aren't sick? That's a really big question. Why do some people get sick and other people don't get sick? One of the studies, there's a sub-study of one of the studies, and we're not doing this testing, but there's a genetics component to it. Why do some people get sick and don't, others do not? It really allows us to look at the entire spectrum of the disease. We can look at questions like reinfection. That's a really big one right now. Some of the studies also have, in addition to the testing that we're doing, they would have blood samples that would be taken at or around an illness event and then downstream from the illness event. So we can look at the duration of antibody response after an infection. We're not set up to do this right now, but obviously some of the longer-term questions will be around vaccine effectiveness, if a vaccine becomes available, and the duration of immunity from a vaccine, which again isn't part of this study, but it's certainly a question that's going to be asked in of really key importance for public health response in the future.
We're talking to Jennifer Meese, director of the Integrated Research and Development Laboratory at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. The CDC has awarded Marshfield Clinic a $22.5 million grant to help do standardized studies of a lot of different open questions when it comes to the virus that causes COVID-19. I understand a big part of this is going to include influenza and COVID-19. Now, COVID-19 was hitting us as the flu season was tapering off. Another flu season is going to come around before we know it. Can you talk about the questions there if we have both of these illnesses circulating at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be really important to distinguish the clinical features of these two diseases. Do they look different or do they look the same? We don't understand the ability to have co-infections. We don't understand if people will be more or less likely to have influenza. Will social distancing have an impact on influenza transmission? We'll be able to test for both of these pathogens, and in both the surveillance swabs that are collected weekly as well as in the illness swab. So we'll be able to maybe make associations between different symptoms of COVID-19 versus influenza infection. It's going to be a complex fall and winter, I think, in terms of understanding these two, how they co-circulate in the environment, and how we're going to mitigate that from a public health perspective. In a hostile environment, you maybe need to segregate your populations differently based on what infection they have. There's just, you know, we've really never lived through a time when both of these kinds of respiratory infectious diseases are in our population. So it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to understand how that's going to go.
A big question, and one we're going to talk about later on the show, is how we handle back-to-school time. And I understand that one thing we do know with influenza is that often it's spread in schools. Kids can get it, take it home, keep transmitting it around. That's one of the biggest questions, as I understand it, for novel coronavirus. Are kids less likely to spread that than influenza? Is any of the research going to be tackling that?
Well, I think we'll be able to look at some of those questions. Obviously, in a family environment with some of the cohort studies that are family transmission studies, those will be some of the questions that will be asked. You know, behavioral questions. Do kids go to school? You know, how many hours a day do you do this activity? Do you participate in sports? So, the great thing about these kinds of studies is it allows us to really think through the kinds of questions and gather the data up front. And then at the backside, you can analyze the data in, you know, 100 different ways to look at associations between different behaviors and outcomes and all sorts of things that are going to be able to be asked. There's so many questions that are hopefully going to be better illuminated so we can make a playbook for the future and better know how to deal with pandemics if we ever encounter one again.
A lot of the questions that individual people have are, you know, what activities are more safe or more hazardous? If someone in the household gets COVID-19, how do we, you know, be as safe as we can to make sure the rest of the family doesn't get it? Are you hoping that your research now and the testing you're going to be doing is going to start to provide some of those actionable answers that people can take in their daily lives?
Absolutely. That's where capturing behavioral information and health information and activity information and lifestyle information while we're prospectively following these people over time is going to help us better look for those kinds of risk factors and also, you know, asking questions about when it is in your household, how do people behave in response to that? So all of those things are part of these study designs. So with big populations that we're studying, hopefully these kinds of questions and answers will be more generalizable across the United States. The other thing about this study, these studies, and there are, you know, six of them hosted across, you know, multiple states representing a variety of geographic areas, different temperatures and climates and, you know, city sizes and socioeconomic status and race and ethnicity. So we're able to look at, you know, big populations and hopefully make some assumptions that can be generalizable across our country.
Now, I know some of the work you mentioned can't even start yet because some of it might involve a hypothetical vaccine and how it works. But that said, do you have a timeline in mind where we might start to see at least early results from some of the work that's going to come through your lab?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be reporting out data on a several times a day. And I would, you know, there'll be interim analyses of some of the findings. We recognize that while these are well-structured and standardized studies, we may have to make adjustments as we go. You know, one of the things that we've all been struggling with in testing, whether it's in research or in the clinical realm, is the availability of testing materials, collection materials. So we need to remain agile and flexible in what we ask and how we answer those questions, because supply chain is really not going to go away as a problem, especially as we enter into a, you know, potentially a more severe respiratory season.
Jennifer, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing the research with us.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share it.
That's Jennifer Meese, director of the Integrated Research and Development Laboratory at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. The CDC awarded Marshfield Clinic a $22.5 million grant to study how the novel coronavirus is transmitted and can be treated.